This recording, South Africa 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel rather sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out rather a lot of medication. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Durban, in the province of Natal in South Africa, in the 1960s. I was the middle child of 3 children, to parents of English and Irish extraction. My mother's mother was Irish from West Cork, and her father was a Yorkshireman. Both my father's parents were from County Westmeath. We grew up in rather an academic household. My father was a professor at the local university, and we were all rather academic, studious children. My brother and myself attended state boarding schools. I was at a girls-only school, and my brother was at a boys-only school. My sister had a slightly different option. She went to a private school and was a day scholar, so went home every day. At the time that I was at high school, which was in the 1980s in South Africa, the schools were still segregated, both white and black, and English and Afrikaans. I attended a whites-only girls' school, English-speaking. We had to do Afrikaans as one of our subjects. It was compulsory, but none of our lessons were in Afrikaans. At school, my subjects were maths, science, biology, English, Afrikaans, geography, and drama. I then went on to university in Cape Town, where I studied science to master's degree. I then came over to Europe, where I've been living in Ireland for more than 10 years. My family all work in the medical field now, and I work for a family medical research company in Cork, which is in the southern part of Ireland. My hobbies include horse riding, dramatic arts, sailing, music, and writing.